2 Samuel 6, we'll continue. And 6:16, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had built for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. David didn't actually perform the sacrifice himself. The priest did. However, he sanctioned them and he supplied the animals. Verse 18. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And he dealt among the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel. There had to be hundreds of thousands of people that had showed up for this event. And here's what he gives the whole multitude of Israel, as well as women and men. He gives everybody a cake of bread. And he gives them a good piece of red meat. A good piece of flesh. And everybody gets a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to their house. You know, he let everybody showed up for the party, and over there was the kegs, and over there was the red meat, and, you know, the cakes. Yeah, great smorgasbord, you know. And David fed all the people, thousands of them. And then he said, go home and enjoy the rest of your day and be thankful. 1 Chronicles 16:4. Let's see if that's what happened for him. No, he has a nagging wife when he gets home. 1 Chronicles 16:4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. That day, their job was to praise God. Thank God. Asaph was one of them. He was the chief. And Asaph made the sound with cymbals. So he played the cymbals, huh? Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priests, and the trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brother. So when they brought the Ark up, they put it in place, and David gave his speech. Actually, his speech was the psalms. And he had people sing them. And here's a list of a bunch of the psalms that were probably sung that day. Psalm 5, 11, and 68. And part of 68 actually got split up into Psalm 105, 86, and 106. So they sang a bunch of psalms and had a wonderful day. Now, 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Then, when he's done giving this great, wonderful psalm and all his great blessings and how great God is, he reminds Israel of their heritage, starting with Abraham. And, you know, they were called in Abraham and went right on down the list. So we get to 1 Chronicles 16:34-36. 1 Chronicles 16:34-36. And Timothy, if you could read that for us.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Pass the ammunition. Now, the end of the psalm included praising God and telling others of his great works. Today, we can speak or sing in tongues to glorify and magnify God. So, 1637, so he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. So Asaph was in charge of making sure the ark got handled properly. Verse 39, Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon, they were to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, unto the altar of the burnt offering, continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord which he commanded in Israel. Look at verse 43 says, and all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Instead, he gets an earful from one of his wives. 2 Samuel 6, verse 20. You just come, you just, life's just great, it's wonderful, what a great day to come home and... 6:20. Then David returned to bless his household. He's coming home to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered or disrobed himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servant, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. Michal, the daughter of Saul, David's first wife, had been returned to him when he became king over all Israel. And she was complaining that David, as king, had disrobed like a common pervert in front of all the female servants. The Jerusalem Bible translates this as, any buffoon might display himself. Hi, welcome home. You just acted like any buffoon who would like display themselves. Okay, in your syllabus, let's read the NIV of 2 Samuel 6:21. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Oh, absolutely. She may have had the misfortune, though, of having at least 5 sons with her other husband. We'll see why that's very misfortunate not later. 2 Samuel 7. And it came to pass, verse 1, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Now, in your syllabus, this record is also in 1 Chronicles 17. As soon as there was peace, David's thoughts went to God and how he could magnify him bigger in the eyes of the people. Today, when we have peaceful times, we can just sit back and relax and speak in tongues. 7:2. Then the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Nathan had recognized that God had been working with David. 7:4. And it came to pass that night, you know, while Nathan was watching SportsCenter, that the word of the Lord came unto him, and God tells him. God initiates this conversation with the prophet. He has other plans than David's plans. But will David obey God, or will he disobey him like Saul did and do whatever he wants to do? Here's what God tells Nathan. 7:5. Go, tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the times that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in their tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build you not me a house of cedar? He's going, have I been asking for a house? I'm not asking for you guys to build me a nice house. Here's what he really wants is Ephesians 2:22. Andrew, if you could read that from the syllabus.
Certainly. In him, you also are built together for God's dwelling place by the Spirit.
That's it. God's exactly. We today are the dwelling place of God via the Spirit. That's what he wants. God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. 2 Samuel 7:8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto thy servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thy enemies out of thy sight, have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Right? I mean, here we are almost 3,000 years later still talking about him. There's a substantial amount of information in the Bible about him. Verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And that since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thy enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from thee, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. This is more insight into the revelation given by God to Nathan in Chronicles. So it's in your syllabus, 1 Chronicles 28:3. So God and Nathan are having a big long conversation this night. God's laying out a whole bunch of things to him, saying, all right, well, let's see what it says. 1 Chronicles 28:3. We read, Timothy, what are we reading, 1 Chronicles 28:3?
But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood.
All right. And now we go in your syllabus to 22:8-9 of the NIV. But this word of the Lord came to me. You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. But you will have a son, who will be a man of peace and rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon. And I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. All right. If God would allow David the privilege of building his house, the temple, God would have a reputation for shed blood, a God of war, and not as he really is a God of peace. Solomon means peaceable. This is why God refused to let David build his temple. Not because of the Bathsheba incident, as some have said. All right, 2 Samuel 7:17. I guess we're back into the Bible again. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So they had that long conversation, and David said, wait a minute, let me record you. Nathan said, let me record you. No. He basically, all right, God told me all this stuff. I'm going to go tell David, and he did. David's response will give us a greater insight into why he is called the man after God's own heart. He accepts what God has to say with humility and thankfulness that God Almighty would count him and his house worthy of anything. 2 Samuel 7:18, Julie.
Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far?
Yeah. David sits down with God and has a heart-to-heart talk with him. The prophets laid out the whole thing to him, so he walks in and he didn't complain, why can't I build it? No, he just said, thank you for allowing my family to have a prominent place in your plan. 7:19. And he continues, 7:19. All right, Julie, how about 19 to 29 now?
And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come, and this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant known it. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out? before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt. And you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. In the house of your servant, David, will he be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts and God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless this house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall this house of your servant be blessed forever.
Thank you. All right. In your syllabus, 2 Samuel 8, 1, it continues, but the NIV gives us more information, or clearer. In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. David also defeated the Moabites. He made them lie down on the ground and measured them off with a length of cord. Every two lengths of them were put to death, and the third length was allowed to live. So the Moabites became subject to David and brought tribute. This is what they do in Guantanamo Bay. All right, verse 6. He put garrisons in the Armenian kingdom of Damascus, or Syrian is what it says in King James. It's really Armenia. And the Armenians became subject to him and brought tribute. The Lord gave David a victory wherever he went. And David took the gold shield that belonged to the officers of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. From Teba and Berototh, towns that belonged to Hadadezer, King David took a great quantity of bronze. When Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to King David to greet him and congratulate him on his victory in battle. Because he had been at war a long time with Tou. Joram brought with him articles of silver and gold and bronze. King David dedicated these articles to the Lord, as he had done with the silver and gold from all the nations he had subdued: Edom and Moab, Ammonites, Philistines, Amalek. He also dedicated the plunder taken from Hadadezer, son of Rahab, king of Jobah. Basically, David gave much to the Lord. In today's wealth, he gave approximately $5 billion worth just to the building of the temple. That's what David gave, and that was his contribution to the building of the temple. Only about $5 billion worth. All right. 8:13-14, NIV. And David became famous after he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. That's basically the Dead Sea in that area. He put garrisons. Gee, he built up his army and put them in different places, is what God is telling us. He put garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. So David kept a standing army on the southern border to ensure peace and to subdue uprisings and invasions. 8:15. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. He didn't oppress them. He didn't just take whatever he wanted like Saul had been doing. His justice was based on God's law. Most of David's cabinet was to praise and worship God. Your job, your secretary of praise. Your secretary of worship. All right. 2 Samuel 8, 16. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host. So he was head of the army. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, he's a recorder. His job was to write everything down. Make remembrance of things. Zadok, who had served in Gibeon, he was the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, who co-served with his father, the son of Abiathar, serving at Jerusalem, they were the priests. Sariah was the scribe. We're going through his cabinet here. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief rulers. Now these guys, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, were David's special forces, his personal bodyguards, the Swiss guard for the Pope, if you may. And the Tower of London, they were the people that guard the Tower of London, the beef eaters, that's what they're called. They're last mentioned at the installation of Solomon as king. So they, that certain elite fighting force, was there all the way through to Solomon being put in charge as king, installed as king. 2 Samuel 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may squish him like a bug? No, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake." What? I mean, again, you see the heart of David. Isn't there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? David comes up with this idea. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Are you Ziba?" Said, "Yep." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan has just a son." Remember the one? He's lame. Now when Mephibosheth, how was this again, Jack?
Mephibosheth.
Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. I'm in verse 6 now. I jumped up there. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he said, "Yes, behold, my servant." And David said, "Fear not, I didn't come here to, you know, but for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Verse 13, you talk about, you know, a change in fortune. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually now at the king's table, even though he's lame on both feet. So instead of getting welfare, the king took care of him. 2 Samuel 10. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died. And he knew the son reigned in his stead. I can't believe the stupidity of many of the sons that are going to happen. And we'll see stuff like this. So the father died. Then said David, "I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me." So David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. Hanun is going to get some bad advice from his peers, his buddies, and he humiliates David's envoys. What's David doing? These are spies. There's got to be a reason. No, just out of kindness, David sent him over there. All right, 10:3. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hunan their lord, "Thinkest thou that David doth favor your father, that he has sent comforters unto thee? Has not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and spy it out and overthrow it?" When Hanun took David's servants, and he shaved off the one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and he sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, "Hang out at Jericho, all expenses paid, until your beards be grown. Then return." And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians, Beth-Rehob, and of the Syrians, Zobah. So they basically got 20,000 mercenary footmen. And of King Maacah, they picked up another 1,000 men. And out of Ishtap, 12,000 men. So he put together an army. And when David heard of it, "Joab, take care of my light work. Grab some mighty men and go take care of them. We need to avenge our men's honor." 10:14. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, remember all those hired Syrians? They ran when they came up against David's forces. They fled. Then fled they too before Abishah and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. So basically Joab took the army and all the mighty men took care of David's little problem. Verse 17, 10:17. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together, passed over Jordan, came to Helam, and the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought against him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians, 40,000 horsemen. He smote Shobak, the captain of their host, who died there. That's a pretty large army that David defeats here. 10:19. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarazar saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel quickly and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. Just because of one stupid kid, basically, who, you know, listened to bad advice. This ends David's prosperous part of his reign. Next spring, David needs to attack the Ammonites and punish them for hiring the Syrians or the Armenians, for getting all their mercenaries to fight for them. They will attack the royal metropolitan city of Rabbath, and this military campaign will take some time, and it's going to cost David in ways he never dreamed of.